kon
ligara
ortelga
very to me
ritma la go bona.
Thank you.
We take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome the honorable members of the portfolio committee, but also welcome the department led by honorable Mamoloko Kubai and the deputy minister of tourism, Ntate Fish Masalela. Today, honorable members, we also want to take the opportunity to welcome the South African Tourism Board, led by the chairperson and the entire members of the board, and welcome the administration that is also accompanying both the minister and the South African Tourism Board. Today is the 25th of August, 2020. We are going to be dealing with the fourth quarterly performance report of the South African Tourism for financial year 2019-2020. We are also, after that, honorable members, according to our agenda, will be dealing with the minutes of the committee as soon as we have dealt with the matters arising from the discussions between us, the department, and the tourism board. We are now going to give Ntate Boltino to indicate to us whether we've got any apologies.
Good morning, sir, and the members of the committee and the SAT. Chair, I've got two apologies on this side. One is from the minister. I'm told the minister is having another engagement, and the other one is from the deputy minister, who is also attending another departmental meeting within the department. So I've got those apologies. I've received them this morning, Chairperson, that they will not be available for this meeting. But the board and the entire executives of the SAT, I'm definitely sure they are all here by now, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have an indication from the side of the board whether we've got some apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. Yes, we do have one apology from the board, Michelle Constant, one of our members. But we've got all the other members, like Gloria, Mr. Robe, Advocate Mojang Kumbi, Sude Tebe, they are with us today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Under normal circumstances, we will give the opportunity to the minister or the deputy minister to do some opening remarks as a way of ushering in the chairperson of the board together with the collective of the board to take the committee into confidence regarding the report that is going to be presented. Now that the minister and the deputy minister's apologies have been accepted, I'm sure we'll be led by the chairperson to do the opening remarks to usher in the report for quarterly performance 1920 financial year. Honorable members, we are now on level two, as announced by the president and the collective of the cabinet, in as far as the coronavirus is concerned. We have seen how the tourism sector has been responding since we started with the lockdowns from level five up to where we are now in level two. We have also seen the cooperation between the government, the department, and the tourism sector. We have also seen healthy differences on matters of timing, of tactics, of emphasis and re-emphasis between the sector and the government. we've also seen some of the stakeholders taking government to court regarding some of the regulations. All those things happen because we are a democratic country. They happen because every citizen has got the right to express his or her view without fearing that action might be taken against him or her. It's because South Africa is a democratic country. In the same breath, the government also exercised its right to defend what, in its view, was the correct approach in as far as matters relating to regulations, in as far as dealing with the sketch of the coronavirus is concerned. I'm saying all these things so that we can see democracy at play in South Africa, where citizens are allowed, as I said, to take any action which in their view will be an action that will be able to rectify whatever they think may not be going right in as far as the decisions taken by government is concerned. Our differences must make us more stronger as a collective. The three arms of the state, the judiciary, the legislative arm, and the executive arm. Today we are going to be dealing with the response from the SA Tourism in as far as the performance of the fourth quarter for financial year 1920 is concerned. We all know that part of the performance of quarter four in the context of 1920 financial year inevitably has been impacted upon by the coronavirus. But that will be explained, the context in this regard, explained by the board. What I think we need to be emphasizing, all of us, as South Africans, as members of parliament, and as state-owned entities, in as far as dealing with the challenges of the economy of South Africa is concerned, it will be important for us to at all times bear in mind and be sensitive to the realities that there will be both objective and subjective factors that will affect our plans. There will be matters that we don't have control over externally that will affect our situation. There will be matters that we have control over, but the same matters will be impacted upon by the external factors. I'm not saying this because I would want the committee not to be robust or critical of the performance of the department, but rather I'm simply saying to committee members that it will be important in life when we look at any matter to always look at any matter in context, so that as a body responsible for oversight, we must be doing this robust oversight, robust engagement as an activist parliament, as we have resolved. But it cannot be done without understanding the context within which certain things happen. We are going to be giving the chairperson the opportunity now to present or to usher in anybody who has been designated to make a presentation of the report of the performance of SAT Tourism Board for quarter four, financial year 1920. Over to you, sir. If you can take about 30 minutes or so, it will be good. Not that you must leave out the most important factors, but the focus must be on the strategic objectives that were set out by the board in as far as quarter four is concerned, or how we have performed in as far as those objectives in quarter four are concerned, what were the obstacles and how did we deal with the obstacles in as far as the implementation of those strategic objectives are concerned. Over to you, Chairman.
Once again, thank you, Chair, and welcome members of the committee. I think perhaps it's important that one needs to highlight the background and the context of the period upon which we are reporting, which was On calendar terms, it was from January to March. That is the last quarter in terms of our financial year reporting. But if I may go a step back, just to indicate that already at the time, COVID was starting to take a stranglehold. Since December in Wuhan, China, where many cases were being reported. So between January and Feb, it was already moving into our core markets, and most of them were starting to implement the lockdown activities and restricting the movement of people, because tourism, unfortunately, was found itself in a space where labeled as one of the causes of the spread of the virus, in terms of if people are not moving, therefore the virus cannot spread. So that's how we find ourselves in that space. But the point I'm making is already at our markets internationally, there were activities that were being cancelled before we even, as South Africa, have case zero, or the first case of COVID-19. And before even the country announced the lockdown mid-March, that was effective at the end of March, for an example, ITB in Germany, which was scheduled to be in February, was at the very last moment was announced to have been cancelled. Our event that was already planned for May, which is Indaba, also post the lockdown, was also cancelled. So this is the background and the period within which we are reporting, which will then have affected the numbers that you are reporting on the performance of that quarter. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 experience itself, in a way, is a new normal, is a new experience, which will not have been forecasted that it was going to be a factor when the plans were established a year earlier. COVID was not an event that would have been anticipated, or as a risk that would have been factored in to say that if it does come in, what then happens to our plan, how to respond in order to still mitigate the impact. It was more a question at the time, how quickly can we move as a country to save as many lives as possible. Having said that, the lockdown in the country was announced mid-March. Already the period then was affected by a number of cancellations, at least from the tourism that were inbound, partly also because in their respective countries they were implementing lockdowns, but also there was a general fear amongst the potential travelers not to be in spaces where they could be exposed to the virus itself. So that then affected many of the targets that we would have wanted to achieve. Overall, if I may give a broad overview in terms of the achievements, there were 20 targets that were achieved in the quarter. 13 of those were not achieved, and some of those are very critical because they talk to the international arrivals as well as the spend. And I think that talk to the very core of the South African tourism mandate. Four of those of the next targets, significant progress was made, but it could not be at a point where we could claim to have achieved them. So essentially what we are presenting today, it's almost a mixed bag of the results under the circumstances, but COVID did play much of a factor. But what I want us to also leave the committee with is the message of hope to say now that we are in level 2 and hopefully we'll quickly progress to level 1. And as per the recovery plans that is currently under public comments and in consideration, part of the plan is then to look at starting domestically in terms of reviving the tourism sector again, then regional, and then once everything has settled down and people and government as a whole has provided guidance in terms of how to move to international, then also then bring those into the fore. The sector itself is badly affected by the COVID because of its nature, but I am hopeful and optimistic that it is one of the sectors because of its nature. It lends itself to be almost barriers to entry are fairly low compared to various other sectors of the economy. So I'm optimistic that it's one of the key sectors that will recover, of course, within the reasonable space of time, but it will be recovering quite quickly. Though the levels of performance that we were at before, I think on the similar period compared to a year earlier, that is the fourth quarter, to get back to those levels, it will still take a bit of time. But if we are focused and then doing all the things that we should be doing, we should be able to get back to where we were at least within that reasonable period of time. Chairperson, I've got the team, the executive team that is running the actual operations at South African Tourism, and led by the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Sanchona, and then who is the one that we have delegated as a board to take the committee through the nuts and bolts of the presentation. Of course, taking the guidance from the chairperson that let's focus on the key performance issues, non-performance obstacles, and so on and so forth. So, chairperson, let me introduce the CEO, but maybe before doing that, just to indicate that with me from the board, we've got four other board members, three. Ms. Advocate Gloria. Ms. Gloria Sarobe, Advocate Gumbi, our Deputy Chairperson, and then Tebe Galefeng. Sisa, if you can please come in and take the committee through the detailed presentation as guided. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all the honourable members. Thank you again for the opportunity to take you through our Q4 results. With me today, I'm accompanied by the entire executive team of South African Tourism, who are going to be supporting me as well. I'm also taking into account the chair's guidance, around half an hour in terms of going through the report. The report has already been submitted, so I'll only be highlighting some of the key issues that are worthy in terms of a bigger focus there. I shall then probably spend about 5 minutes and hand over to the CFO, who will then cover the financial aspects of it. I'm going to share my presentation on here. I see that the host has disabled the inability to share the screen. Can the host please allow me to share my screen? I'm still not able to share the screen.
Ms. Sanchona, I'm trying to make you a co-host. I'm not sure why the system is not allowing me to do so.
I don't need to be a co-host. I just need to be given permission to... I see the host is Nozubo.
Okay. Nozubo? Can you please make Mr. Njona a co-host?
Ah, thank you. Thank you for that. Honorable members, as I say, it's the Q4 report that I'll be taking you through, January, February, March this year. It's obviously the last quarter of the fiscal year. It also gives you a bit of a sense then in terms of the annual view, in terms of the annual results, because all four quarters would have been done essentially. So although I'll be focusing on Q4, I'll probably be giving a sense in terms of what the ultimate year's performance could look like, you know, from the perspective. The first part has really been covered by the chair, where, you know, he highlighted that even in Q4, January, February, March last year, we're starting to see the results globally of how tourism was actually slowing down. So entire space of the tourism industry, the universe as it were, was down 22%. And again, this is where the first waves are coming through Asia and also Europe and ultimately the US as well. And all this phenomenon was really slowing down the tourism industry. South Africa, we experienced in the first quarter, or rather Q4, January, February, March, we experienced a decline of 10% relative to the same period last year of arrival. Again, compared this to the global one of 22%, we fared off okay. But of course, we were probably the last in terms of the wave coming through from the perspective there. As you all know, is that our APPs or KPIs are structured into five programs, and under each program, you get all sets of KPIs. We have in total 37 KPIs within SA Tourism for the period under review, and I'll be highlighting essentially the ones that were in red, where we had some performance issues, and I'll talk through some of them. The green ones I'll glance through, and maybe some yellow ones I'll give you some attention there. What this graph does, it gives you a bit of a sense of the progress, you know, within each quarter, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. And obviously an amalgamation of all four will give you the annual performance for the year. As I said earlier on, it gives you a bit of a sense in terms of the progress and what the ultimate picture could look like at the end of the year. The chair did say that out of our 37 KPIs in Q4, 20 were achieved, 13 not achieved, and four was significant progress. The theme that you'll see in the KPIs that were not achieved are directly linked basically to international arrivals into the country. That talks then about the 22% decline globally and 10% decline within South Africa as well. This is a summary split by program, you know, of the different KPIs, but I'm gonna take you through the detailed one to give you a bit of a sense then in terms of where we are at. You must also remember, honorable members, that some of the KPIs are annual KPIs, some of them can be split per quarter, and that gives you a bit of a sense then in terms of how we can move forward from the perspective there. Now, the first area that I want to bring your attention to in terms of the KPI of Q4 that is red essentially is the percentage vacancy rate. And this then talks to the target that we had set to ourselves in terms of closing as many vacancies as possible. Now, where we came under pressure here was not so much vacancies within our South Africa office. It's in our international offices, specifically in France, where we had some issues around labor issues there. We had to appoint a new hub head or country manager in that space. And therefore, those delays actually impacted us not being able to achieve some of those numbers. So again, our international offices and staffing of them, we really had some challenges there and wanted to make sure that we actually do the right thing in terms of getting into our perspective there. The last item on this page is the BEE level achieved there. We had a target of level 4. We did not achieve that target. And specifically, yeah, this is the entire BEE scorecard comprising of the five different elements. So therefore, the activity is cut across the entire organization in terms of contribution to it. This is one area that I really will be focusing on. And part of the failure that we had was that it did not belong to a specific unit in the organization. So it became a tally and there was no ownership of it. Honorable members, it has now been brought into the CEO's office and is going to get our attention, my focus, to make sure that we can achieve our results in terms of the BEE scorecard to being at least a level 4 and above from that perspective there. Again, there was a mishap in terms of making sure that the 5 elements are actually addressed from that perspective there. Now on this slide, we start to see the different performance split by quarters. I want to bring your attention to whilst sometimes the performance for that quarter may be missed, it is sometimes a timing issue and is made up in the following quarter. So net-net, you'll find that the performance has been achieved for the year. As an example, if you look at the last block over there that talks about the market, quoting Market Insights report, for Q2 and Q3, you'll see that it's in red, but it was more than made up in Q4 to make sure that the timing issues are also flattened down. So the net effect for the year is that the target has been achieved. Now, that's kind of some of the issues that I wanted to highlight from their perspective there. I'm now moving on to the performance side. And this, again, is directly correlated and linked to the slowdown of international tourism activity of the 22% I speak of in quarter four, right? And obviously, this impacts arrivals. And when arrivals are impacted, it impacts spend. It impacts geographic distribution and from the perspective there. So Q4 being 20% down essentially from the targets is no surprise at all. We had a target of receiving 3 million visitors. We received 2.4. This is actually quite unfortunate because Q4 is actually one of our peak season as a country, January, February, March, especially January, February from that perspective. And of course, you know, as I said, the COVID slowdown impacted us, you know, quite significantly. Then you'll see the spill-off also happening on the TTFDS, which is basically foreign direct spend. How much did tourists spend into the country? Lower number of people, the lower spend that comes through from the perspective there as well. This one then kind of deals into the percentage of geographic spread, and I'm looking at the red block where you see minus 17%. Again, there, less people arriving in the country, you will have less opportunities to actually have geographic spread within the 9 provinces of the country. That said, however, we've been doing considerable work engaging with the 9 provincial tourism authorities, driving and ensuring basically that we can have tourists have been spread across the 9 different provinces. It talks to the supply side, it talks to having attractions, it talks to even sometimes having the infrastructure development, whether you're talking roads, whether you're talking water, electricity, and, for those places to be able to attract tourists and get some activity happening from that perspective there. And those discussions are ongoing at the same time. In yellow here, I'd like to highlight the 2 areas that are linked to our brand. And this is the South Africa brand. Part of our conversion of international guests is the conversion funnel talks to our brand strength. The more tourists or potential tourists can actually recall South Africa as a country worth considering to actually travel to, gives us a bit of a sense then in terms of some of the work that we're doing in terms of making sure that we can drive the arrivals that we are looking for. This is the consequence of the effort and investment we make on global platforms, whether it be CNN, Skies, and basically to make sure that South Africa as a destination is not forgotten or considered rather by international tourists, something happening over there. At times, honorable members, incidents that are totally out of our control pull us back in terms of the brand equity. And in the last quarter, Q4, leading from Q3, there were a couple of incidents of xenophobic attacks that were starting to be flighted around the world, essentially. And this also put pressure then on the positivity of the brand of South Africa and to be considered as a destination, essentially from that side. On the next slide, slide 17 there, I shall focus then on the reach of domestic campaign. Again here, honorable members, whilst Q4 may be seen as an underachievement, if you look at the year's performance and you put that together, you'll see that in Q2, we more than, you know, we're down 9-fold in terms of some of that activity. And this was linked to the travel week activities that we are driving from that perspective there. So again, the net effect is that domestic tourism campaigns, the target has been reached. But if you look at Q4 and isolated, you'll see that we are behind. And I think that's the phenomenon that I talk about when you look at the flowing amongst the four quarters, but the annual five has been reached from their perspective. Here again, I'm going to focus again just on the exceptions on the red part, the seasonality index. This is quite an important index that we track because we want to make sure that the tourism activities are not just seasonal, but happen throughout the year, because jobs then are also linked to this. The less activity, the less jobs that are able to be maintained and kind of generated by the sector. So part of the thinking that we have is to make sure that, you know, we can spread it out. And we look for countries that actually fit some of these dynamics. As an example, in India, our weak season is the winter season, but our winter season is India's monsoon season. So therefore, we become a better destination for, you know, Indians that can afford to live in there and kind of visit South Africa during this period of time. It just helps us to flatten out the curve and not have these peaks and troughs that you see from time to time. So again, Q4 there and also part of the and the build-up for the year didn't allow these sequencing to kind of come through because of the disruption in terms of travel. SME participation, the last one around tourism hosting activities. In this one, as an example, in Q4, the chair did say that in March, ITB, one of the world's largest global trade platforms, we were secure to go there. We literally had our bags packed and everything. And the day before, the event got cancelled. That then took away the opportunity to actually host those SMEs as part of that activity that we had planned for the specific event. So you, hence you see this as being underachieved. And again, it's all linked to ITB being cancelled, hence losing out the opportunity to be able to take SMEs on that platform there as well. Then on this page, I will take you to the last block in the bottom there on Q4, where you've seen that on the number of qualified leads generated as well. This talks to our business event space, our MICE activity in the MICE sector. In terms of the first impact of COVID in tourism, the MICE space was the one that was impacted the most. In January, February, and in March specifically, we just saw wholesale cancellations, postponements of conferences, you know, on a very large scale. And as a result, this whole sector around the business events, there started to be question marks in terms of will it revive, when will it revive, and again, the ability to actually generate bids and start to secure contracts, I mean, leads essentially slowed down quite significantly. And hence we'll see in Q4, you know, an underachievement of 5% from that perspective. But again, if you look at the annual one, it smooths out and evens out to being an achievement of the particular ATP there. Then on this one, a number of meetings held at Meetings Africa, and you'll see a big drop basically there. And again, this is also a testament to what we saw happen at Meetings Africa, which is held in February of every year. And because COVID, essentially the impact of it started quite significantly in China, all of our Chinese delegates were not able to attend Meetings Africa. All of them, they had to cancel, essentially. And as a result, then you started to see that the number of engagements and meetings being held at Meetings Africa were not at that caliber where they should be at. You know, what we know now, as an example, at that time was essentially probably not common practice, virtual meetings, virtual conferences. And again, this is part of the mix as we look forward in the recovery. What will Meetings Africa look like? What will Travel Indaba look like? And a hybrid of physical presence and also technology in terms of virtual meetings, I think those will start to kind of come through and help us from that perspective there as well from that side. The number of international market access platforms where SA Tourism participated, this one again, you'll see there is underachieved for Q4. Again, this is about ITB that got cancelled and therefore we do not have the opportunity of even participating at the event. But what gives me comfort though is that from the annual perspective, it all evens out because we had overachieved in the prior quarters that actually saved us from an annual perspective there. Honorable members, this is the page around grading, our grading council. And this is where I'd like to pause a little bit and kind of reflect here This has been one area of the business that significantly, we have not been achieving our numbers. Our numbers both in having graded establishments and also the number of rooms that are linked to the number of establishments itself. Certain specific actions have been taken around this. The first one is the ministry is actually reviewing the whole grading, act as well, and will be coming out with their white paper specifically on this. Questions are still being asked, and even from this committee as well, around the future of grading. Should it be voluntary? Should it be compulsory? And. And I think all of this gives us the opportunity to relook at it, to relook at its value proposition, to relook at it, its appropriateness and relevance in 2020 in a COVID environment as well, where I think there can be significant comfort that needs to be given in terms of from a quality assurance perspective, whether we're looking at domestic tourists or international tourists from that side. Again, this really needs a really relook of this space around the grading side. And as I said earlier on, significant amount of work at the highest level is going through in terms of re-engineering the space and make sure that we can achieve what it is that we need to from the perspective there. This one, honorable members, then you'll see the talks about frontline staff that we have attended, what we call the welcome training. This is part of an initiative within SA Tourism to have as many tourism ambassadors as possible across the country, specifically as well in the provinces where we look at those that are participating and are part of the tourism sector, where we reach out to them to bring them up to speed, to actually get them to become welcome ambassadors, that we call them, and to get their training up and running. Q4, we did not achieve any movement at all because, again, part of the travel restrictions that we imposed on SA Tourism staff was the lack of movement and being ability to travel to various parts of the country. Again, here now, we have made significant advancements and acceptance level where virtual training will now become the order of the day as opposed to physical presence. Where in those times, if I can call it that, it was not something that, was seen to be done almost in the immediate space. That's our mixed bag that the chair spoke about, honorable members. 20 achieved, 4 that we call in the yellow significant improvement, 13 basically that did not come through in terms of the achievement of Q4 from the perspective. And I hope I've given you a bit of a sense then in terms of the ones that were in red that we did not achieve in terms of those numbers there. I'm now going to hand over to the CFO to take us through quickly around the financial aspects in Q4. And then after that, I'll pick up and close off on the other outstanding items there. Nomulelo, over to you. I'll drop the presentation for you.
Thank you, CEO. Next slide, please. Thank you. Chair, in 2019-20 financial year, we recognized total revenue of 1.5 billion rand. The total revenue was mainly made up of the transfer from the Department of Tourism. If you look at the contribution of the transfer from the Department of Tourism, it is consistent with the previous financial year, where it is the biggest revenue line item. And then also consistent with previous financial year, our second biggest line items were the amount received from TBCSA in the form of transfer levies. It amounted or accounted for 133 million rand of our total revenue. And then there was a 3% variance in that line item, and it was just mainly due to the timing of cash flows between TBCSA and South African Tourism. The balance of the revenue line items are attributable to our exhibition income, so the income we generate from Indaba as well as Meetings Africa, our grading revenue, which is the fourth revenue line item, as well as sundry revenue. So our sundry revenue is mainly made up of interest income, so our investment income, as well as other miscellaneous income that we generate from participation fees in our roadshows in Japan, for example, as well as income that we would receive from different bid party contracts that we have. I will then move to the next slide, please, CEO. So this slide reflects how we invested the revenue we generated in the first slide or the revenue slide in at a program level as well as economic classification level. So I think what's key here is that also consistent or in line with previous financial year, the biggest allocation goes to Program 3, which is our leisure tourism marketing. And that's mainly made up of the tourism execution work that we do at a domestic as well as international marketing level, as well as brand and marketing activities that are used to drive demand creation. So the second largest investment is also at a business events or a business marketing level, so Program 4, which accounted for 178 million rand of our total investment. So the balance of the investment was at Program 1, so corporate support levels. So that's where you get your finance as well as all your other support services, so ICT and finance sit in that program. And then business enablement. So this is the activities and marketing and insights activities that we undertake to inform our marketing strategies. We invested 79 million rand in that program, in Program 2. And then the last one is program 5, visitor experience, where we invested just over 77 million rand. And then the table below that, Chair, talks to classification of our investment or expenditure at economic level, isolating a cost to company or compensation of employees from goods and services. At compensation of employees level, it accounted for 230 million rand. And what was key, the reason for the variance, there about 7%, was one, there were no performance awards during the financial year. And it's also linked to the vacancy rate that the CEO spoke to when he was presenting our performance results. And then at goods and services level, the bulk of the amount relates to our marketing investments, which I've touched on when I spoke through the investment at program level. And I think what's key for this slide specifically is that when you look at the total investment versus the amount that's sitting in the revenue slide, which is 1.5, you see that there's a variance of that is more or less about 100 million. And that then reconciles back to the amount that was reprioritized to the tourism relief fund. Next slide, please, CEO. Okay. So this is the last slide on the finances, and it's basically a graphical representation of where we spend or where we invest from a marketing perspective on a mainline level. So as with previous financial years, media is the tool that we've used for demand creation and components or mainline expenses are then split between hosting capabilities, research, as well as production activities. Chair, I will pause here and hand back to the CEO.
Thank you, Nomulela. Honorable members, the rest of the pack comprises of just some of the regulatory stuff that we need to submit. And this then talks to our human capital side, the people side of the business. You know, having a sense of resignations and vacancies that I previously spoke of in terms of the senior team within the SA Tourism side. And again, I'll just go through on any ones that are possibly from an exception perspective. This area then covers the governance side, and specifically here talking to the South African Tourism Board, the number of meetings held, and also the dates of those meetings to give, you know, honorable members a sense of the level of involvement, engagement, basically, in carrying out the fiduciary duties of the board and the different subcommittees that are essentially held from time to time. And then this then just kind of gives it on one page what I've just spoke about, all of the different board members and also the engagement and attendance of meetings across the board and the number of them. So you've got a very active board, and just looking at Q4, essentially, just one quarter, you can get a sense in terms of the level of engagement that is specifically sitting within the space here. And this then just talks then in terms of the remuneration of the board. And I must say the bulk of it is all about travel at the time. And we're looking at probably January and a little bit, probably the first week of February in terms of Meetings Africa, where we actually suspended travel right across the board. So there are no particular items that reach out there from time to time in terms of the board remuneration and the travel costs associated. This then just gives the acronyms and everything else from that perspective in terms of definitions. And I'm going to end there, Honorable Chair, in terms of our presentation side. But just to close off, key messages there in terms of we have allocated all of the money and resources that have been, you know, we have invested rather all of the money and resources that we allocate to SA Tourism. So, you know, and that gives us a lot of hope in terms of all the utilization from that side. We have also used the period of lockdown, as I said previously on, in terms of working internally in the organization to make sure as the sector opens, as we are now in level two, we've got better, sharper systems, whether it be hybrids and all technology that we need from a perspective there. So I'm going to hand back to our chair and then take questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO and the team, honorable chair and members. This is our presentation. We can take questions on it or any items that may need clarification, and then we'll deal them with them as per normal as and when they come. Thank you, honorable chair.
Okay, Chairperson. It may have been advisable in that to check with your members if there is any other member who may want to do some strengthening of the report edition. If there's none, we can then proceed to the members of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me take the advice and speak to clarify or to get an understanding whether there are any members of the board that may want to add or clarify something on the board, on the report. Honorable Chair, back to you, members of AFRAIN.
Yeah, I was just suggesting that because you know we must maintain and sustain the democratic value system of the country so that tomorrow members of the board don't say they are not given an opportunity to express their views when they interact with the committee. Honorable members, there is the presentation by the board led by Chairperson Ntate Dube and CEO Ntate Ntshona. We will have the first member to input or ask questions, the Ntate Khalipa.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. And thank you very much for the presentation from the board and the background from the chairperson of the board. It's a very, very difficult time, chairperson, for checking the work that has been done by the board, looking on the challenges that they have been facing the country on the tourism sector. With the presentation that has been made, my view that with all those challenges, the board has tried, chairperson, to implement their mandate. There are areas, chairperson, where I just want to get clarity. What is the plan, chairperson, of the board covering, chairperson, the time that they have lost, not because of because of their making, because of what has happened in the country in terms of the coronavirus, what is their plan. I hear that they have made this presentation, but I don't hear Chairperson plans which is they are put by the board to be able to cover. I know that is not going to be an easy task with the challenges that are facing by our economy, the time that we have lost in the tourism sector, and it's just now that the tourism sector is starting to be opened with all the regulations. And I just want to check, Chairperson, what is the plan from the board to recover the time that they have lost, and what the second one, Chairperson, what is the plan of the board trying to assist your small industry, which is our objective as a portfolio committee, which is led by our chairperson. We have been focusing on our small towns and in our rural areas, which is your villages and then your small towns, which is during this period, there has been a huge loss, chair, to those areas. And what will be the board trying to assist, which is assisting those villages and townships, which is not going to be easy for them. I know, Chairperson, other big industry in the tourism sector, I know it's going to be very difficult, but it's not going to be the same with your villages and your township and your small town. What is the plan by the board, and what is the plan by the board, Chairperson, to assist in those areas, Chairperson? That will be my interest, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ndate Khalifa. Our next speaker from the committee is Ndate Krambok.
Did you say Krambok, Chair?
Yes, Honorable Krambok, the opportunity is now yours.
Thank you. I'm not normally this early in the speaking list. That's why I was a little bit taken by surprise.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for that presentation. A couple of points. I take the point that many factors like brand positivity are affected by incidents that SA Tourism cannot control. And you mentioned xenophobia as one of the factors that actually impacted on our brand positivity. So I think one has to give a little bit of flexibility and allowance for what SA Tourism has to do. But my questions are twofold. On the financial presentation, there was a slide which indicated that income from grading levies was about 23 million rand out of a total income of 1.5 billion, which looks as though it's about 1.5% of the total income of SA Tourism, perhaps slightly less. And I think, again, that illustrates the fact that there surely cannot be an argument anymore that grading should be compulsory but free, because to absorb that from the rest of the budget is going to be relatively simple. But the benefits of having a credible tourism offering overseas with every establishment graded and therefore no brand damage on TripAdvisor or any other form of social media would be far outweighing the picking up of the cost of that 1.5%. So I'd like a comment and feedback on that, whether that is your thinking as well as SA Tourism, and perhaps the way forward as to when this issue will finally be settled. Then the last question I'd like to ask, Chairperson, is this report is for the last quarter of 2019-2020. But of course, we're already in well into and more than two-thirds of the way through the second quarter of 2021. And we are looking at a situation where there's at least five different vaccines against COVID in phase three of clinical trials. We're likely to have the first vaccine towards the end of the year. And given that there are a number of them that are into phase three, it seems possible that mass production could start early in 2021, which then means that tourism is going to be in a position to recover by the last quarter of this particular financial year that we're in and by the first quarter of the next financial year. But the damage done by COVID is profound, and billions of people have had their income affected. We know in our own country, 3 million more people have become unemployed. So bearing both those positive and those legacy negative factors in mind, what is the view of SA Tourism as to what our target should be for international arrivals as we head into the first quarter of, which would be 21-22, that financial year? In other words, as we head into April, May, and June next year, and perhaps even the last quarter of this financial year. Are you looking at a more positive scenario where your targets will be resumed, or are you going to be budgeting and planning for reduced targets had there not been a COVID-19 pandemic? And to what extent are you going to be scenario planning if the answer is the latter? In other words, what do you think the decline in percentage targets would be? So, for example, if you were planning previously for a 5% increase in international arrivals next year, you might decide that because of COVID, you can only have half your targets, which means you're only anticipating a 2.5% increase. That's what I'm talking about. Can you give the committee some idea as to in what way your increases in international tourism against the pre-COVID scenario planning are going to be? And to what extent that is a result of COVID. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Krambok. Honorable Muteka.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me accept or welcome the presentation from the Jefferson, Mr. Bonga. And Jefferson, I heard you when you opened the meeting, that with the tone that we must all understand that quarter four was affected by COVID-19, and the chairperson also alluded to that, and we all understand it is not out of their own making. We can call it neutral or whatever, but no one was having control of it. So, but chairperson, I, in line with what Mr. Kaliba has said, I also want to know, because Jefferson on his opening speech said they are going to begin with the recovery of the domestic tourism. So my question, in line with what Mr. Kaliba said earlier on, is what exactly are you going to do, more especially on the empowerment of women in tourism? Because we had them last week or 2 weeks back when they are in the committee. They are not getting enough help. They are not getting help, in fact. And they are struggling alone there. Some provinces are not even well convened and all that. So my question to the board and the executive is, what are you going to do to assist women in tourism? More especially those from the villages. More especially for those from the villages, townships and the small towns. What are you going to do? So again, we all understand that COVID-19 have affected tourism in a huge way. But Jefferson, The results, some of the results are contradicting what we all understand. More especially, the 3 million achievement. I mean, 2.4 million achievement out of 3 million. That is close to the target. And we all know the COVID started in December 2019. But this is nearly close to the target. I just need an explanation of what really happened. Where did they get these big numbers, whereas January, February, and March were affected already. And this is international tourist arrival. That question is followed by, are the targets realistic? If really under these circumstances, we can achieve so close to the target. Whereas we all know, we all understand. So we are surprised if things happen, whereas we didn't expect. Again, on local tourism, the holiday, the domestic holiday trips from 0.8 million, they achieved 1.3 million. I'm asking the same question. Wow, how did it happen? I mean, things were really stuck. And again, it goes also to meetings in Africa. They achieve 40%. International meetings, 50%. So those are the questions. And then they go straight to how did the numbers come up? I'm not saying why they didn't have to achieve, but I'm just getting surprised on how did they get them, whereas we know international tourism was shut down from December, but they will explain. And lastly, we have seen the graded establishments does not achieve. The target was not achieved. As we always say in the committee, that many establishments, more especially those from the rural and small towns, they are very, 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 very poor, these people. They can't afford this grading cost and all that. So there is the proof. People are not grading their establishments. So chief executive has already said, Mr. Chona, please proceed with that thing of doing away with the cost, but making it compulsory for quality assurance purpose, because you cannot compromise quality. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Moteka. Honorable Miyeni. Ndate Miyeni. Honorable Gumbi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the presenters for that fourth quarter report. So I just want to go to the comments made by Siyabonga Dube, which do make sense in the context of what went on around that same period. But obviously, a report like this has to give us insights into how we adapt to the future. And so this links up a little bit to what Honorable Krumbok was saying. And I want to ask the question is that if we were to open up in October for international tourists, as per the positive forecast, because if I remember, the positive forecast was opening up in October, whereas the negative forecast was opening up for international tourists in February, if I'm not mistaken. So it was quite a wide range. how many tourists would we anticipate getting within that same period? And I say this knowing very well that just yesterday STA Travel announced its closure, and the fact that it would be ceasing business operations. And now, when you've got major players in the industry such as STA Travel, it obviously is a concern for the small players who have, you know, don't even have close to the amount of money to be able to keep going and to be able to save the kind of jobs that STA Travel's closure would come with. So that's the first question, is on a positive forecast, how many jobs would you forecast? The second question for CISA is, Mr. John, is on MICE. What countries across the world have obviously closed down. MICE is one of those, as you say, which are most impacted because you had a lot of people pulling out. But at some point in time, major businesses, particularly global corporations, are going to need to host conferences again. Now, some of them are going to go online. That is natural. But a lot of these conferences also have to have a sense of where people are able to meet and interconnect, which goes a little bit far more beyond some kind of an online connection, which is quite difficult because we're here online, but I can't just randomly begin meeting and connecting with other people at random. You know, everything is filtered through the person of the portfolio committee. And I want to know, how do we position ourselves to be the first country where our events and conferencing is able to pick up again immediately? What in your opinion must be done for us to be that first country to position ourselves in the world as the events venue? Thanks, that's all. Last one, and this is not a question, this is just a comment, is that I'm glad that there is some step being made around the grading. And I mean, I don't know necessarily in terms of the minister where she is looking to go with that, but I hope and I assume that she's taking the line across political parties that says that grading should be compulsory and free, and something which we've been pushing for, as kind of the stepping stone for where she's going in terms of changing the law and regulations. Because if that is the case, that's a positive step. Although it feels a little bit late, but you know, all these things must ultimately turn at some point in time. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Sithole.
Thank you to the presenters. But Chairperson, I think most of my question has been covered by Honorable Khalipa and Honorable Mtika. Only one question that I'm trying to figure out and find out from the presenter, that do they have any program that is going to assist the local tourists in different areas, like in rural areas, as our other members have been mentioned? And do they have any linkage and program that talk to provinces to assist them? Because there's a lot of things that's supposed to be actually helping the tourists in the country, when they can develop some program that will speak to local programs and make their colleague actually like official from local government to understand the impact that has been caused by the coronavirus, because there's a lot of things that is happening and there's a lot of things that is supposed to be prepared by the local, because when you are saying local is local, is the time now that we have to implement that. Uma ufuna ukuphumelela ufanele ukuthi uqeqeshwe abantu bakho ukuze ukuthi makufika isikhathi sokuthi uyavuka uvuke nabantu bakho ungavuka uhamba wedwa. Ngaleyo ndlela ngicela ukubonga kakhulu. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Ra leboga motlotlegi Sithole. Honorable Gomba.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, my question, let me start by appreciating the presentation, Chair, and also commend that, the entity for having done much with the little bit of time that they had before COVID-19. Chair, I would like to pose my first question with regards to the grading council. How many businesses pulled out of the grading scheme, and what are the reasons for what are the reasons cited for pulling out from grading? And also the other question, Chair, is in the previous discussions with the department, particularly coming to the grading department, we spoke about them reviewing the grading policy. And I want to find out how far are they with regards to that. And also I was partly covered by Mr. Gumbi when coming to the issue of the free and compulsory grading, because I think in reviewing their policy, we will be very much happy to hear or to see that the grading is going to be free and compulsory. That is what I wanted to find a chair, and also hoping that also there will be also different categories of grading establishments, in particularly those ones which are cultural accommodation businesses, so that they can be graded according to their categories. Thank you very much, Chair.
Kialaboha, Honorable Gomba, Ntate Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. With your indulgence, I will keep my camera off. I've got a very unstable connection. I just wanted I've been covered most members with questions. The only question that I'd like to pose is the CEO mentioned problems that he had with his one office in France, I think he mentioned. I just wanted to ask and understand, obviously, there are certain challenges when it comes to offices abroad and their local laws and so forth. But what I particularly am interested in is how does he ensure that what needs to be done in these offices abroad is done and targets are met? Because they're geographically far away, how do we ensure that we maximize the work that needs to be done in those offices and make sure that it is done? And how do we measure that the work is actually produced? Thanks very much.
Thanks, David Freitas. Honorable April. Honorable Abra. Honorable T.S. Kepo. She did indicate, honorable members, through a message, Honorable Kepo, that she has got some difficulties in connecting in the Eastern Cape. So I move from an assumption that the network has not enabled her to get onto the platform of the meeting. Honorable Makubela.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me first and foremost appreciate the presentation in terms of the status quo or the report of the fourth quarter performance from the entity, and appreciating the fact that they are upfront with us, that they are presenting to us a mixed bag of performance in terms of their fourth quarter performance as an entity. due to the fact that the fourth quarter was, I can say, also hit by COVID, because most of the source markets were already experiencing some sort of restriction in travel, and we're putting in place measures to curb the spread, the rapid spread of COVID. But Chairperson, allow me to ask the Department of Tourism gives the entity much of the resources of the department in transfers, which means a huge portion of the funds which is appropriated by the Department of Tourism gets transferred to this entity. And the responsibility of this entity is to market South Africa as a destination of choice. Now, due to the fact that we are not going to be marketing South Africa that much, we are promoting that people visit and experience their own country. I want to understand, of the budget allocation, how much has the department begun to ensure that they are going on a vigorous campaign to ensure that South Africans experience their own country, consume the tourism products, and ensure that, because by doing so, we will ensure that the tourism products are sustained. South Africans also get to experience their own countries, their own country, its rich diversity and cultural heritage. Perhaps the CEO must give us the strategy and the percentage of the budget in terms of the strategy, which will be used on a campaign to ensure that we unleash the potential of the domestic tourism. We ensure that the hidden gems within our countries are known by people to ensure that they visit them. Perhaps if we can be able to quantify this, Honorable Chairperson, we will see, as the Portfolio Committee, see whether we are on a path to recovery or we are still doing things as we were doing them previously. That is my only question, Chairperson. Thank
you very much. Kialibo, Honorable Makubela, thanks very much. Chairperson and the CEO and the rest of the collective of the board, from my side, just a few things. The first one, it's around this grading requirement. We have agreed as the Portfolio Committee that it needs to be made available to our entrepreneurs free of charge. We know that it's a source of revenue somehow. And I think going forward, it will be better if it's done by government, this grading, so that whoever uses the facilities can be comfortable that the quality, in as far as at least the facilities concerned and the service, has been approved in line with the grading that would have been done by government. I know that the CEO and the chair are talking about white paper process that is going to ensue and so on. I will suggest that we hybridize the two. Whilst we work on the white paper process, at the same time, people's establishments have to be graded. As Honorable Gumbi was saying, if we are to be in level one October or November and so on, if we don't address the grading thing, it means those who suffer the most, those who don't have access to capital, those who don't have access to debt from financial institutions and so on, will not only suffer because they've got lack of access to finance, but they'll also suffer because they don't have the grading stars. So So they'll be in a worse position post the coronavirus. So my suggestion will be, yes, let's pursue the white paper process. But at the same time, let's, in the meantime, introduce some interim measures that will ensure that the grading almost begins immediately. Within the law, that can be done. I'm sure the minister can engage the cabinet and all other relevant stakeholders to introduce that approach as a way of igniting and accelerating and helping those who are smaller to survive the immediate post-corona situation within the tourism sector. So I'll suggest that we do that because if we don't, I think those who are poor, who find themselves struggling in the tourism sector, particularly Blacks, Africans, and women, are not going to make it. We will have opened them the tourism sector post-corona, but they'll be in a worse situation. So I suggest that we try and focus on that particular matter. I wish that we could the report could have indicated a scenario where all things being equal, what would have been the impact on people who are based in the villages, the townships, and the small towns, in as far as putting them into the mainstream of the economy within the tourism sector is concerned. So that we are able to say, all things being equal, this is what could have happened, but now we have the coronavirus. Going forward, what is it that we are going to be doing to make sure that the benefits that are going to accrue to those who will have been involved in the tourism sector, if it was not because of the coronavirus situation, financially, economically, this is where they would have been. So that you come up with mechanisms that will find a way of restoring them somehow, at least closer to the initial scenario in as far as them participating in the tourism economy is concerned. The last thing is on risk. I think it will be very important for us going forward as the tourism sector, particularly from, let's say, tourism perspective, to look at risk, not that we can determine with certainty what is going to happen in future, but the risk that will allow us space to say, in case we face this possible scenario, our fallbacks will be scenario B, C, D, and E. And our fallbacks, when you get into the details of our fallback scenarios, they must almost take us closer to even where we wouldn't have experienced some difficulties like corona. So what I'm saying is, we will not know what we'll experience in future, post-corona, what else is going to emerge. But I'm sure we can plan better now that we have the experience from the coronavirus, so that we can still come closer, very closer to achieving our strategic goals that we have set, without us necessarily thinking that we can control every situation. So I think if we can, going forward, work a little bit better around researching the possible path of success based on those scenarios, we can go a little bit closer to achieving our strategic objectives. I'll make an example. This grading numbers that we wanted to achieve, we would have achieved them even if we are in the COVID-19 situation, because within the regulations, we'll have built into the response by government the need for us to continue using other methods at our disposal to do the grading of facilities, even if the corona situation is prevailing. I'm sure we can find means and ways of still grading anybody's establishment, even if we experience the coronavirus situation. I'm just making an example that going forward, we may need to work on things that can enable us to still come closer to meeting our targets, even if the situation changes. Chairman Dube, CEO Njona, and the rest of the collective of the board, those are the issues that have been raised. You now have an opportunity to respond to them.
Thank you, Chair, and the honorable members for the questions. I think from an approach perspective, so that we are as comprehensive as possible, I will make one or two comments on the issues, especially those that were directed to the board from an overall response perspective. Then I will hand over to the CEO and the executives to address the key specific issues that talk to the actual operations. And then at the end, I will come back with the rest of the colleagues from the board to supplement any responses that have been provided by the team if there are gaps. So I think one of the key issues that especially was raised by Honourable Member Kalipa was the issue of ideally, as we're presenting, it would have been more value-adding if we had also highlighted some plans or activities that, okay, now that Quarter 4 and COVID has happened, what are the practical plans that then we have now, especially in level 2, that we can now be able to give comfort that, yes, things are going to improve and to be better. I think that comment was expressed by a few more other members. And the issue is, maybe members will also recall that around the 27th of May, we presented to the committee our revised APP, which was further refined once there was a revised budget or just a budget adjustment. And just to recap, that plan or that APP talked, of course, it was premised on about three pillars. One was what activities are we going to do or that we're busy with in that period to reignite demand, to deal with the issues of supply and to build the capacity within, or to focus on SAT's internal capacity so that when the industries opened again, we are then able to execute the plans that were outlined to support the recovery of the sector going forward. So as the CEO responds as well, is going to touch to some of the aspects of that APP, because that were all the plans that we put forward, including the ones that were busy trying to get it adopted or approved by government as a whole, which is the recovery plan, because that will then be driving all the activities that we need to be undertaking going forward. So I thought that I must make that as an opening comment so that at least we can locate our plans where they are, because for now we're reporting on, it was more from a compliance to say, yes, the report for this quarter is indeed delayed because of the situation we are in, but we had already presented the APP revised to address in particular the issue of the issues of the COVID impact. There was another comment as well, a question that talks on the issues of collaboration and how to work with provinces and local, especially with the view of saying that our immediate priority with regard to reopening or resuscitating the activities in the sector will be for domestic. There is close collaboration, not only at an EXCO level with the provincial authorities. We as a board have also made sure that we engage with the respect with our colleagues at provinces with an aim to attend to joint planning, to joint activities at the various provinces, just to make sure that we support each other as we're looking to diversify the product, to transform the industry. And we agreed that in our first meeting that we had, that we need to schedule these meetings frequently on a quarterly basis, so that at least there's what problem can have come good out of the COVID situation is that it has forced quite a number of stakeholders to find ways of how they could come closer and engage together. With those comments for now, Chair, I will then hand over to the CEO and the team to field some of the questions. Then we'll come back at the end to seek to close off whichever ones that will not have attended to. CEO, audio.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. Certainly a full set of questions across the board, which is much appreciated. As I said earlier on, I am accompanied and assisted by my executive team, and certainly the questions, a lot of the answers lie across the different portfolios there. So I'm going to ask each and every single one of them to comment on the specific areas that pertain to them, and then I'll come in the end and kind of close the loop from their perspective. May I start with the CFO, and then the COO, and then the CMO, and then Amanda, whom you are dealing with business events and also acting in the grading side, and then finally, Wavet. Can I ask that we please be brief, short, and specific to the point, and not just to drag it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on the focus area now that domestic tourism is open, and how much we are projecting to plan from a demand creation perspective. So together with the brand and marketing team, we have started working on different activities that will drive demand. And at this stage, we haven't concluded on the actual percentage, but it's roughly around 10% of the revised budget that we currently have, that we're planning to spend for the quarter to create demand. I think that was the one budget-related question. I will then hand over to Amanda to deal with the questions around business events.
Thank you so much, Nombolelo. I think it was the coup that will go for the next questions. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. There are two questions that I would like to address. The first one was from Honourable De Freitas around the front office and how do we ensure that obviously the officers on the ground actually deliver what they're meant to deliver. So what happens is, in terms of the planning process, every office or every region that we have has got a target. So the overall target that sits in the annual performance plan of the organization is allocated to each and every office to as part of their targets. But the most important thing that I want to highlight is that following the enterprise or the organizational planning process, each and every region or business unit is required to actually deliver a business plan that would give the executive team a sense of what are some of the initiatives that are going to do that would assist in reaching the overall targets. We've got also our quarterly performance reviews, which are chaired by the CEO, where each and every business unit, including the regions, would present a progress made against the business plan, but most importantly, progress that has been made against the targets that have been set. in those meetings, we discussed what are some of the risks and some of the barriers that we need to deal with to address issues of performance. If you look at you know, how we've configured the office, the offices you know, abroad or in various jurisdictions where we have offices, the office is headed by a hub head who is you know, South African, who is appointed as a South African you know, employee to head up and obviously to take care of the interest of the organization. And that hub head then works with a locally recruited team, which assists with executing some of the things that are sitting there. The second question that I would like to address is around how are we incorporating the whole, you know, area of you know, villages, small dorpies, and township. What we are doing currently is we are working very collaboratively with provinces to ensure that we have, we conduct an audit of what are some of the attractions and experiences that we have in the country. And I think this is very important because we just don't have a single view of what are these experiences. So when we engage with those who actually sell the destination, we can't actually send them to a central repository where, you know, all these you know, experiences and attractions exist. So one of the things that we have done with the provinces is we presented, we've had a discussion last week where we said provinces should be, because they are a lot closer to the action, they should be involved in terms of identifying some of the rural experiences and products which exist there, some of the products and experiences within our townships, and small dorpies within their provinces. Why is this important? It's important because we really have to ensure that if we're going to create market access for the products which are, and experiences which are sitting at a rural level, tourism, you know, small dorpies and townships, those who are selling the destination have ease of access in terms of where these products are, where these experiences can be found. But the second thing also is we just don't want to expose these products and experiences to those who are selling. We want the travelers themselves to have direct access to these products and experiences. Of course, there are realities that we really have to ensure that the whole issue around quality, as honorable members have explained or have alluded to, the issues of quality are taken care of. And I'm sure Amanda, when she talks about issues of grading, she would allude to the program that we've put in place of the basic quality verification that we're looking into to assist us in having a single or a common or standard quality across the board. And I think the important thing is that we have to standardize the quality of product and services that are provided, whether you are in a rural community or a township or a small dorpy. The quality of product should be the same. But the second thing that we want to do, which we think is important, is how do we begin to enhance the skills of, you know, of service, particularly around, you know, giving the tourism service when it comes to the products that we're now trying to assist. And I think once we have done all of these things, we will be able to provide market access as well as network opportunities for the products that are in our villages, you know, townships and small dorpies. So I thought, honourable members, it's very important to ensure that we understand that this is work that has to be done collaboratively with the provinces as well as the department, so that we ensure that we have a single view of what exists in our country, and so that when the sector opens, we are ready with these products. We are ready to actually even give them the market access platforms that they deserve after we have done, you know, the necessary training and the necessary capacity building. Thank you. I think those are the two questions I wanted to deal with. Thank you.
CMO, TK? Okay, then may I ask Amanda to pick up, please, from your side.
Thank you, CEO. I think very specific. I think just first as a general to say about a comment about grading, I do think that we absolutely hear you, Chair, and all the members about grading, and we do realize that, you know, it is very important. And even in this time, I think, you know, when we talk about COVID and, you know, can we say that we are safe and health protocols and all this stuff, I think absolutely busy with the department that is reviewing this, and we will take all these comments into consideration. And just a specific question, I think that Honourable Gomba asked about how many people pulled out of the grading system. There are in that quarter 300 that pulled out, and that is out of a number of like 1,200 or so. The thing that about that is that in that time already people started, and it is true, it is very much linked to the economy, and people started to close down and, you know, not be able to operate, as we know. Even the big players, as we know, you know, had to at the end not close their doors, not for permanent, but some also just for the time being. And I think what is important is that we do have the TIP program. Some people applied for that, and so their grading fees were then covered, but some were not compliant with it, and therefore they had to apply for it. So the where we are standing at the moment is that, Chair, and I hear you that, you know, we can go, we can continue to do grading. The problem is that people closed, and for that time being that they closed, you know, they need time to just get themselves ready again for grading. But what we did with the help of the national department is that we extended people's grading without being graded, if you like. Of course, there will be a review of the people. Our assessors will go out and make sure, but they won't, so a paying holiday, if you like. So that is the one question that I just wanted to specifically with grading answered. And then I think the other one was also from Honourable Gumbi about, you know, how are we going to make sure that we are the country that is first? As we all know that there's only 50 people, and it all has to do, and I'm sure when the CMO is coming in, he will talk about it, but it all has to do with confidence of people that are willing to come and do, you know, and attend meetings and come and do the meetings. And as we know, you know, it is important for us to be open. What we are doing at the moment is really focusing on the local corporate market to see if we can build that confidence for at least for them to start to have the smaller meetings. There's also, out of this whole scenario, came a very positive council, if you like, or forum, and that's called the Events Forum. And they are made up of all the different associations and their members. And they also, as part of, and I'm sure the CEO will allude to it at the end, as part of the recovery plan, they also came up with the protocols and with the department and TBCSA on how can we position then South Africa as a place to have those meetings, and that we have the protocol so that people can build, so that their confidence can be built. Because what we found is that people will do, and specifically local meetings, they will set up a meeting and 2 days before the time, there's some COVID news that come out and then they cancel the meetings. So we need to really build that confidence. One of the things that happened is that we also, South Africa was chosen to be part of the ICA, the International Conference and Convention Association hybrid meeting. This year, the international meeting is happening in Taipei, and we will host the Africa Hub, where there will be a hybrid meeting even for us as a destinations members from that meeting. And so I do believe that there's a lot of work that is done for us to be in the forefront of the new normal if there is something like that, as we all say, by having hybrid meetings, but also face-to-face. Then just the last thing, the South African Association for the Conference Industry also, because I keep on saying we need to put our money where our mouths are, you know, and they actually had a hybrid meeting in the three in Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban, where there were 50 people coming together in each of those destinations, and the rest of the people were linked on the virtual platform. So I think, and it's all to build, of course, that confidence. So I think when it's coming to rules and protocols taking into consideration and put in place, there's a lot of work that is done with the private sector, as well as TVCSA and the department and ourselves. I think that was the question. The one thing that Esther was alluded to was the basic qualification verification. It's a program that we really look at and I think Honorable Kombu, you also asked about the categories, and that is really a program that we are busy to roll out, where we will look at a standardized basic qualification verification, and it is a project that is also in partnership with the National Department of Tourism, and all of this happen at the same time as what we are looking into the review of the policy and the act. Just with the small door piece, we also are in the final stages of looking and working with our provinces at looking at choosing some smaller or secondary towns to be the host for these national association meetings. So that program is also continuing. Thank you.
Thank you. No, please go ahead.
Thank you, honourable members, honourable chairperson. The questions pertaining to marketing, I believe, have already been covered in the COO's response. But just suffice to say that over the last few months, we've been working very, very closely with the chief marketing officers of all of the provinces to ensure that everything that we do is collaboratively done from the ground up. Because in a COVID-19 situation as it is now, and with the focus on domestic marketing, it is absolutely important that we understand what is on the ground and that we activate in all our villages, towns, small dorpies, but also focusing on being able to have an aggregated and a consistent message. So that is how we have been working. And I believe that the program that we're about to roll out now is collaborative and it is very robust in terms of its consistency across all the provinces. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TK. And lastly, Wavela.
Thank you, CEO. I'm going to touch base on a couple of things that Honorable Kronborg and Gumbi touched base on, and also on the one of confirmation of the actual numbers that we've got so far. But I'll start with the latter one, the 2.4 million that we got in the quarter that we are reporting on. So to recap is that the numbers we are reporting on is January to March 2020. And the country announced the lockdown, I think it was on the 27th of March, so almost at the end of March. So there have been people who are coming in and out of the country before that. But the rate, of course, changes based on the geographic region where the people come from. If you look at example on the chart that we presented earlier on, is that people from Asia, because that's where it actually started, the COVID thing. It was seen as being an Asia thing. And they made the first move in terms of restricting their people to travel. We see the traffic from that side to South Africa declining by 3.7%. And also it varies by region, and then it goes to European markets. and then to your North American markets. So predominantly the people that we have received for this period, we are reporting on 75% of them are coming from the continent and our neighboring countries, because the borders were only closed after the announcement which was made at the end of March. And on the other aspects of the potential scenarios that we're working on, it's very difficult to play all the scenarios at this stage. But hypothetically speaking, Honorable Kronborg, is that if you take the 2.4 million that we've received in the first quarter, and making the assumption that the borders open in October this year, people that you normally get from October, November, December, we get roughly around about 2.7 million arrivals. Now, let's assume that we open the borders and then we get all those people, those 2.7. The most likely scenario that we can close at as a country is 5.1 million tourist arrivals for this year. That's the best case scenario that we can work on. So moving from that base and projecting forward in terms of what is most likely arrivals going to be in the next coming years, what we've seen so far is that in any event, even the recovery plan states that it will take us at least 2 years to be at the levels in which we were in at the end of 2019. But we can still be optimistic as a country purely on the basis that, one, the way we've handled the pandemic, because we believe that destinations that handle the pandemic well, once the sector reopens, would be chosen first. And also, if you look in terms of the behavior and the preference of the travelers, in terms of what kind of destinations they are claiming to be looking for post-COVID, they are all looking for destinations that are scenic beauty, destinations that have got wide open spaces. And researches that are done by independent companies and also the researches done internally by SA Tourism, it's showing that countries such as South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada would be the destination that people would most likely to travel to. So with that in mind, this sort of gives us hope that although the recovery is going to be seen for over the period of 2 years, but with that change in preference of consumer needs and demands, it gives us a hope that we're most likely that we're going to recover faster than the early predictions are basically saying. So with that, CEO, I think those are the areas that I would love to cover in the issues that were raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Avela. Thank you, team. Certainly, I think a good fair amount of questions that are there. I think just to close it off, honorable members, the key focus for us right now is the recovery plan. That's what's really occupying our minds and also our efforts in terms of how quickly we can get back and get the sector up and running in there. Now, within the recovery plan, there are two key elements. One is domestic tourism and the other is the grading. And a lot of the questions that have been asked are actually weaving themselves across those three platforms, from the recovery perspective and also the domestic and also the grading side. So just to pull all these pieces together, the recovery plan is actually what we call a 10-point plan included in there. And this 10-point plan covers various areas. Some of them are short-term in the nature, some are medium and actually longer-term. Now, the recovery is going to be led inside out, meaning starting with domestic, then regional, then ultimately international. The domestic part is where all of our efforts are going into now, especially with level two being announced and interprovincial travel being allowed as well. The first key part in terms of the campaigns of getting back in is all about building confidence and trust in all South Africans that it is safe to consume and participate in tourism activities. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we run the risk of opening up but people not going visiting because purely they are not confident and the trust factor is not there of being able to participate and partake in tourism. Also importantly as well, it also empowers all South African citizens with knowledge and information so they will know what to expect and know what to demand as they move through the tourism value chain across from the perspective there. Similarly then, in this recovery, what is the impact of the smaller players, especially from a grading perspective? Together with our provincial tourism authorities, there are other, what I call, initiatives to help and assist some of the smaller players. Two come to mind. One is that, as you'd note, there was the Tourism Relief Fund, which sat at national. What I'm seeing now is a lot of provinces are also adapting their equivalent, specifically in two areas. One is that how do they assist small businesses with what I call protocol starter packs as they start on, because there is the cost and investment to be made in order to be compliant with the health and operational protocols. That's the first one. The second one becomes the grading relief. How then do provinces assist some of their smaller establishments in order to be graded from their perspective there? It is also important to note that grading is very, very important. And then I'm go wider, quality assurance, the confidence that I speak of, and also the trust. Right now, as we speak, we are in the process, at least the department is in the process of getting the protocols to be adopted as country standards and norms. Once that is done, that becomes the standard that South Africa has. It sends the right signals overseas that South Africa is basically a country that is adhering to global protocols, and also gives them assurance of their safety and their consistency on that side. The question around when the different scenarios and permutations, I think it was Honorable Kumbrook asking that one, you know, high road says we find a vaccine, things open up and not, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the Northern Hemisphere is giving us some great lessons, both on what to do and but what not to do. The situation is so fluid that once you think you have it, you know, it literally falls on its back and starts all over again. We are currently observing now some of the phenomenon around, you know, the Northern Hemisphere, where travel advisories are issued literally on a daily basis based on the pandemic of those source countries or countries visiting. And I'm looking at the example of the UK as an example with Spain and with France, and how we are seeing also the borders within the Schengen space coming up again. All of these are inputs in terms of how we should shape ourselves. The one key thing that I'd like to highlight as a risk for all of us as a country, especially around tourism, South Africa still has the dubious honor of being in the top five globally of infection rates around the world. And whilst we are on that top five, the chances are of tourism resuming to any significant portion is really going to be minimized. Here's what I mean by that. That we could open up our borders tomorrow, but if we are in the top five, travel advisories will be issued against South Africa, both for people that want to travel to South Africa and also for South Africans that want to travel abroad. So we've got to balance all of these in place. So for the foreseeable future, domestic is the space that we're looking at, but also at the same time, making sure that we can get down from the top five list to be in the top 30 as an example from the perspective. So domestic becomes the focus. Then even within domestic, yes, you can do all the campaigns we want. We can do all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the product owners, the private sector, has to come to the party in terms of being relevant and appropriate for domestic, what I call value proposition. That includes pricing, that includes the value proposition. Because a lot of them, they've been looking overseas, solely overseas, and some of the pricing, you can see it's kind of backed against the dollars, the pounds, and the euros. And they've got to pivot themselves in terms of providing their local environment. Then lastly as well, as we are opening up and focusing on domestic, our APP spoke about, our revised APP that Chair spoke about, gearing for the future. We spent the lockdown period really working intently, gearing for the future. The future is actually now as the sector opens up. And part of the investment that will be made in terms of technology, in terms of platforms, is all about bringing on board those small, unknown, unidentified, no marketing budgets on these platforms. So SA Tourism essentially carries them, and we make them visible to South Africans that they can come and engage and shop with. So in your mind, please think of a short lift, but one that's on steroids, which can go on short lift. You can identify, you can search, you can filter, you can also can transact ultimately. So suddenly now the small player has got a platform that they will not normally have in terms of getting from their perspective there. Honorable members, I think Wavin has spoken a bit about the recovery periods. They are changing on a regular basis. And again, we've estimated it's going to take us about 2 years just to recover to the levels that we saw in 2019. Source market selection is something that's becoming such a scientific art at the moment in terms of identifying where we should be investing based on their managing of the pandemic and also as well the spend that they have within our economy there. Honorable members, I'm cognizant of time and I think the team has done quite a job to answer some of the questions specifically. I'm going to put a pause on there and hand back to my chair. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO and the team, and perhaps the honorable chair, let's allow my colleagues, starting with Advocate Mujangu, Ms. Magdalena Serope, Duzakwe, the chair of our Audit and Risk Committee, and Tebe Kalifan, the chair of Marketing and Commercial Committee of the Board, to say a few words and also supplement the responses if we may have left out as the CEO was responding. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair of the Portfolio Committee and honorable members. I don't have much to say except to say that, as the CEO said, really we want to underscore the point that we are the marketing arm of the country, but the product sits somewhere else. So we don't own, you know, the products that we are marketing, not you know, the hotels, the establishment and all that. But we have done our best, as the CEO was explaining, to put the small establishment on this IT platform so that when you open our own website, you can see the small establishment and you know you can book them, you can appreciate where they are, what they do, how you get there. You can even get a map or a pin directing you to where they are in South Africa, what they have to offer and all of that, as a way of contributing to creating a diversity of products. And I think we've started on a campaign. The board asked our executives to say, you know, the minute the minister announced level 2, let us just press the button on a very, very detailed marketing campaign to encourage South Africans to get out. And the board will be doing it itself, board members, the minister, we've already seen her sitting from the front, you know, out in Paris on bikes and all of that. So we are really aggressively going out to say to South Africans, please go out and consume these products that are yours to consume. But I will be remiss if I didn't say that the issue of price is a big one, Chairperson, and I'm sure you are aware of that. So it's something that we must collectively work on as South Africans. Thank you very much, Chair of the Portfolio Committee and members. Thank you for the opportunity to present.
Ms. Gloria? Okay, Tebe.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and thank you, Chair of the Portfolio Committee. I think from a marketing, there's probably two or three things that I want to emphasize that is taking that is going to get us back somewhere, at least on the road to recovery. One is a need to focus on domestic, as all of our countries globally are going to need to focus domestically. And I think you'll begin to see in our recovery plans that all those, that our focus is really about how to get South Africans themselves to travel the country and to focus as part of our strategy to recover our tourism. The second one is obviously from an investment perspective, we pulled some funds as part of our contribution or accountability really to contribute towards the COVID pandemic. So we need to be clever in terms of how we're going to try and recover or recoup some of those fundings to be able to enable us to drive this this important initiative to revitalize, if nothing else, domestic tourism. But I think a very important one is the need for partnerships. I think in all the engagements that the executives are looking at, are working through now, the key driving principle has been, are there any partnerships that we can leverage to ensure that we're able to, we don't have the too much responsibility to fund everything. So whether it's partnerships with other entities, partnerships with other product partnerships with as well, and the second key partnerships that we're looking at as well is to ensure that in all our executions, are we thinking responsibly? Are we working across board? Are we working multi-agency, looking at multi-departments? So for example, if there's an initiative we're looking at, what is the impact on health? Are we working with the Department of Health? Is there an association with arts and culture and all those, and how are we working with all those? So I think from our end, our chairperson, thank you for the opportunity, it's really those three things. Our focus on domestic, need to recover or to recoup some funding to drive our initiatives, particularly in that area, and to, working our partnership networks, partnerships with all other like-minded stakeholders to recover, to get the country back on its feet. But we need to open. I'm like Trump now.
To Zagwe.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Greetings to everybody. Chairperson, I don't have much to add except to say that I think we take the comments that have been made, particularly around how do we touch the rural. You know, how do we touch those in towns and small towns, and how do we empower them to be able to participate in the business of tourism? Now, I take a bit of confidence, Chairperson, around the progress that's being made by the organization when it comes to redefining from an IT perspective, from a virtual perspective on how we're going to redefine tourism. And I think some of those projects are going to go a long way in touching the people in the rural areas and towns and small towns, because I think we ought to be coming up with ways of supporting such people to be able to advance tourism for the greater good. So those would be my 2 cents, Chairperson. Thanks very much.
Thanks, colleagues. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, perhaps the last point, it's more of a plea for my side across everyone in the room in our various activities or engagements that we have, whether in public or in our social space and so on and so forth. With level two being in effect, I've been moving around the places that across or throughout the province for now. I have not gone through the country. But generally what I'm observing is it's almost like there's a general feeling that maybe COVID-19 is no longer a factor, which until there's a vaccine, it is a factor. And the reason I'm raising it here is so that in our various spaces, we all continue to encourage our compatriots to still keep it safe, to still wear the mask in public, to still observe all the protocols as published. Because although that is not necessarily related to tourism sector per se, but whatever happens in various places as a public, it could be people traveling to work or going to any other activity, it then end up affecting the sector per se in terms of the country being able to say, as the COA indicated earlier, to say that we are no longer number 5, as an example, in terms of the number of infections, and therefore the confidence that we need to be inculcating to the potential tourists and travelers, we are able to quickly get there. That is the closing point that Jefferson, I wanted to make as a plea, as all of us are going out to engage with the various stakeholders in various platforms. And let me take this opportunity to thank the committee led by the capable chair, Mohamed Bello, for the opportunity for us to present. We always look forward to engage with the committee and wise counsel and guidance that we always get. And where we may have missed a question or two from one of the members, perhaps the committee office will assist us so that we can maybe submit those responses in writing. Thank you, Chair.
Chalaboha, Chairperson. We also want to take this opportunity to thank yourself and the collective of the South African Tourism Board for the report that has been presented to the Portfolio Committee on Performance 19-20 of Quarter 4. We also want to thank the members of the Parliament who are deployed in the Tourism Portfolio Committee for having engaged in the manner they did with the Portfolio Committee. Honourable members, as the Chair has said in the closing, let's continue to spread the message among our people that a discipline will be very necessary in level 2, that vigilance will be very, very much necessary. We only have one life, so if we lose that life is gone forever. So we must continue to urge our people, to educate them, to campaign and mobilize them to maintain the necessary discipline. Because if that necessary discipline is not maintained, all these wishes of opening up and growing tourism to deal with jobs, and unemployment, and inequality are not going to be achieved, because the risk in as far as globally South Africa is concerned will be higher. And all these objectives of bringing people into the country and also in intensifying domestic tourism will evaporate, because the virus will continue to spread and people will be more at risk. So that's the challenge that we face. As we open up, we also increase the risk of people to contract the virus. So let's continue educating our society. Chairperson and your board, we thank you and we wish you everything of the best. You are now released from the meeting so that we can go as a committee into our next item. Thank you very much, Lisa Manson. Krute an Almaltes.
Thank you, Chair. Have a great one.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you. Bye, thank you. Honorable members, thank you. Let's now deal with the minutes, honorable members. They were circulated. But just before we deal with the minutes, you'll remember, honorable members, that in the committee here, we had made a proposal to do the tracking on the implementation of decisions and resolutions of the committee. Unfortunately, it was a feeling of the institution here, the leadership in the institution, that tracking system, which the committee had agreed to and wanted to implement, the decision of the leadership of the institution of Parliament was that that can only not only apply to tourism, that system will then have to be institutionalized through the entire Parliament. Our intention was that on a regular basis, we must be tracking the decisions we have taken, the extent to which those decisions are being implemented, and where necessary for us to make the necessary interventions. So this morning and yesterday when we checked, Parliament had not yet arrived at a decision to institutionalize the tracking system. I just thought in passing I need to mention that. Secondly, from our last meeting, we have now written a letter to KZN regarding Mpopomeni and Howick, based on the visit that we undertook there. We've written to the municipality they've acknowledged receipt of our letter and they've promised to come back to us. In addition to that, we have received a feedback from the department that as part of their, I think, annual report or when we deal with the annual report, they will be giving us a feedback in as far as this particular matter is concerned. We have also indicated to the department that all other resolutions, not only in Mpumene and Hawick, we need to be getting feedback on a regular basis in as far as the implementation of those decisions are concerned. The assurance we have received from the department is that we'll continue to get regular reports, monthly, quarterly, annually, and that where necessary, in between the monthly, the quarterly, and the annually, the portfolio committee will always ask the department to respond to certain inquiries that we'll make regarding implementation of decisions. Members, we have circulated the minutes to the rest of the collective of the committee members. I'm sure we have gone through the minutes and we can just check if there's anyone to move for the adoption of the minutes.
Yes, sorry, can I respond to what you just said?
Yes, Honorable Kambo.
Thank you so much. It's partly for clarity. I wasn't quite sure what you meant about tracking mechanisms and Parliament having to make a decision for the entire institution and whether that in fact related to the next point you made, which was the follow-up work we're doing on our visit to the Hawick Falls and to the Mpopomeni Tourism Center. But perhaps you could just clarify that. But I've got two questions, Jay. Can I put the second one or do you want to ask the first one?
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Then the second thing you said, you indicated the department would report on this in their annual report. But then a little bit later you said monthly and quarterly and annually. So I'm not quite sure, is it in effect monthly or is it annually? But more to the point, in the committee meeting we had a little while ago, I think it was two or three committee meetings ago, we did take a decision as a committee that the department would report to us on this issue when they next appeared before us as a committee, which is in a few days' time, next month, in fact. So I'm not sure whether that is still in place. It ought to be because that's the decision that we took. And I'd be very unhappy if they then delayed that until the presentation of the annual report. And then lastly, Chair, on the same thing about, you know, getting commitments that are honored by other entities out of respect for us and intergovernmental relations. We did task the municipality in Hawick to respond with their interim report in January. That was when their first report was due. You mentioned now today that they had responded to the letter, acknowledging the letter you have just written to them or that has been just written to them. But do we yet have their first report from January? Because it's almost September. If those points could just be made clear, because it is a matter arising from the minutes and we seem to be, you know, deliberating about things which tend to change from meeting to meeting. So I'm a little bit unsure as what the situation actually is. Thanks for allowing me to respond to you.
Honorable members, you'll remember that in the committee meeting, I can't remember the date specifically, last year, we agreed as a committee that it will be important for us to have some system from the Committee of Tourism that will track the resolutions and the decisions we take in as far as implementation is concerned. So as part of implementing that decision, a tool was developed, which was then presented to the committee and adopted by the committee in terms of tracking resolutions and decisions for implementation. Internally in the administration, they then approached the IT section to help us from an IT perspective in implementing that decision we had taken as a committee. IT then said to the committee administrator, we will come back to you as soon as we have engaged with the authorities of Parliament, which they did. And the response we then received was that it's a good thing, but it can only be limited to the Tourism Portfolio Committee. It will have to be a system that will have to be implemented by the entire institution. So that's the feedback we got. Secondly, on the matter relating to engagement with the department, I was just emphasizing to the department that we need to be getting updated reports on various issues on a regular basis. And the agreement was that, as known, we will get reports on matters that have been raised with them on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, on an annual basis. And in addition to that, it will be as and when there are any matters in between the monthly, the quarterly, and the annual that will raise with the department for them to come back to us. For instance, if there is an urgent matter that can arise during the course of the month, the portfolio committee will be entitled to raise those particular issues with the minister and the department and the board, and will expect a report on those particular issues. So the department has indeed reaffirmed its position that as and when we raise issues with them, they will be coming back to us regarding those particular issues. I was just indicating the frustrations on our part, on the last part now, Honorable Kambo, that Mpopumeni and Gawiki, during our oversight program, there were specific deadlines that were attached. And that's why we have written to both the department and the municipality. You will remember that we also made sure as a portfolio committee that Parliament took a resolution, a decision on the report after adopting it, in as far as our visit to Mpopumeni and how we were concerned. There are also many other issues. It's not only Mpopumeni and how we have raised with the department, which the department is going to be responding to, and the other municipalities throughout the country. It's not only the municipality in which Mpopumeni and how we are concerned. I'll make an example. We have written to all the municipalities in South Africa for them to indicate to us the extent to which they are focusing their activities and their budgets and their programs on tourism. We had given them some indications on when they must come back to us. They have not done so. We had also taken a decision that municipalities must send, and the provincial departments and portfolio committees of legislatures, lists of all villages and townships and small towns throughout the country. We gave them the deadline. That deadline was not met. And many other issues. So I'm just saying that when the response is not received as expected, it's not out of the making of the committee and the leadership of the committee. But members of the committee must appreciate the fact that we follow up on those particular issues, and we can only depend on them responding back to us. A proposal was made by Honorable Gumbi that in as far as all these decisions that relate to departments, municipalities, and other stakeholders are concerned, where we take decisions and they're not implemented, we must consider an approach, and we agree to that, that going forward in future, if we don't get a response, we will then have to seek for some serious intervention, which will include us summoning those people to come and meet with the committee. In principle, that has been agreed to. What the department has indicated in as far as other matters we have raised with them is that they will be dealt with when we meet with them. I can't remember when is the annual report on a specific date going to be coming, that comprehensively we're going to be doing that with them, but also that in our next engagement with the department, not the board, with the department, they will be giving us some answers with regard to other outstanding issues, which will include Mpopumeni and Hawick oversight visit that we undertook. You will also remember that the department still owes us a report on projects that either have been abandoned or projects that have collapsed. We also added a list of those infrastructures that were either half completed or were dilapidated and so on. So we are going to be getting that from the department, honorable members. Can we go to the minutes?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Ushanganan.
Yeah, I can see.
Sure. Chairperson, so the two matters that you're speaking to. The first matter was around adopting a process and resolutions and all other decisions which are debated and discussed in the portfolio committee are taken, and then how we follow up going forward. And I think that you've made some mention to a whole host of other matters which were requested, whether through the departments to provinces or municipalities or other governments. But the second matter is specifically on site visits, because we had a specific site visit, and that emanates from the request which I had made to the portfolio committee. And that request was to say that we had the portfolio committee has taken a specific site visit where we had taken a decision emanating from that, and we don't often do that where we go to a specific part of South Africa where there might be potential failures or good things happening, and we see things for ourselves. And I said that we agreed that a report was supposed to be brought forward to you in January at the time that hasn't been done by the different levels of government. And I said that because we had moved towards a system where everything is online and simpler, is that if they had not done so, we should invite them immediately to the next portfolio committee. Because it's simple, it doesn't involve significant logistical issues. Parliament, it no longer requires people to take flights from wherever they are to Parliament. We're operating in a new normal, and that was my proposal, which was accepted across the board. And what we're trying to seek to do is that, of course, you can do part one where you are looking at all sorts of resolutions and stuff. But the second part is a simple invitation, I think, to invite the municipality to come before the portfolio committee next week. I mean, what's the time now? We are finishing now. It's 11:30. We are more than able to have an additional hour in the next week where we are able to talk to the municipality to account. And if they cannot report, they must be able to speak, I think, for themselves. I don't think that we need to be obviously in any space to defend them or to give them more time. They've had, I think, ample amount of time to be able to respond to issues that are deteriorating in tourism there. And I mean, as the custodians, obviously, of tourism, it's in our interest that that happen. And it's in our interest that this happen, especially moving forward, because at some point in time, we're going to take more oversight visits. And if we can't utilize the tools which make, you know, work easier and more accountable, then there's no point to those tools. So it's just to correct that specific resolution, because that was the resolution which I had spoken to and put forward, which is on the record. And I don't see why it would not be difficult to invite them at the next portfolio committee.
I don't want to create a dialogue. I thought I was trying to simplify things for honorable members. So if you want to reemphasize the points you made as part of the history of our meetings, it's going to take a bit of our time here. Honorable members, what the other members say? The specific thing I said is that in trying to push the decisions we have taken, we have reminded both the department and the municipality to come back to us on this matter. There's also an indication that our next engagement with the department, we will be dealing with all these follow-up issues, which will include these matters of case at hand. I don't know what else is still there to debate really. What are the members saying?
Chair? Yes, thank you, Chair. I think you are correct. We need to track our resolutions, because we cannot just talk and nothing happens. I remember also in the inception of this administration, when we were eager to see the structures of the tourism happening in our townships, you proposed that we need to do the tourism forums so that tourism can start to be vibrant in our townships and dorpies and villages. But it was so much easy for the tourism department to come with women in tourism and started to encourage them through the DD member of the tourism authority, who was able to guide and assist them to formulate those structures to be formal. But they are failing to do what the department, which is what us as members of the committee requested, to formulate the same exactly how they formulated the women in tourism, which is a very good structure. But they failed to do the same for the tourism forums that will uplift all the communities that are in the tourism sector. So it means they spot the potential, but they don't take our resolutions seriously. Thank you.
Yeah. Who else is there? Okay. Honorable members, can we agree that...
Jefferson?
Yes.
Yes, Chair, I think it is proper and for us to immediately call in those who are not doing their work, those municipalities. Let us not drag it long. It can be in the next meeting or after the meeting after the next meeting. Because really, service delivery is delayed by people who ignore their responsibilities and just do whatever they wish. That's why so many years people are not getting services. So let's change things. Let's call them in and come in and then we move on like that. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There was never a disagreement on calling people to account. I don't know what the discomfort is all about, because it has always been as agreed in the committee that as and when the situation so demands, we'll do it. So, I don't understand why there seems to be some suggestion that is not the position of the portfolio committee. So we will be scheduling that. I will talk to the administration so that we can see how we schedule that. But that doesn't mean that we are only dealing with Impopumeni and Hawick. There are many other decisions we have taken, and municipalities have to respond to that, department has to respond to that, provincial departments have to respond to that. So what we will do, honorable members, we will, through the administration of the committee, send to all of you, just to refresh our minds, all the decisions we have taken as this committee, sure, since we were established, so that sure, you can always refer to those particular decisions. Is that the caliber?
Yeah. No, Chapter, I just want to check, Chair, whether you remember in the last meeting we agreed that the province of KwaZulu-Natal must be consulted and check whether they have done their part of interacting with that municipality. Whether we've received that report. I just want to check whether there is any feedback around KwaZulu-Natal, the Department of Tourism, working together with that municipality. Because
no, we haven't.
So if Chairperson has not received that report from the tourism, from the province, why will then meet with that municipality? Because we'll expect the province that they have done their part. Once we get a report from the province, we can then interact with that municipality. That was the decision of the portfolio committee.
Yeah, there's no problem. We can meet with anyone. So
yes, that's why I'm saying, Chairperson, it's important that we must always get feedback from people, because if we don't get feedback, Chairperson, we don't want to embarrass ourselves as a portfolio committee when there's already a decision of the portfolio committee that one, the province is mandated by us to interact with that municipality, and then they can then give us a report. And then we can then interact with that report. If we are not happy with that report, then we can then interact with that municipality or the province. Because we agree, Chairperson, that once we are not happy with the report, we will invite both the province and the municipality.
Okay.
So if we have not received the report, Chairperson, what will be the basis of meeting with that municipality when we have not received the report?
Yes, in principle, all of us are agreeing that at some point when the need arises, that summoning is going to happen. So between now and whatever date we are going to be meeting, those details will be dealt with, honorable members, and you'll get a report from the administration. Can we have a move for the adoption of the minutes?
Yeah,
I hear it's not clear.
I hear Honorable Kalipi talking about a provincial report. That's fine. I think we need all the reports that we entitled to. But I still haven't been able to obtain clarity as to whether we've got the report from the municipality, which was due in January. But what I am hearing on our Zoom today
is
a very good. We all.
I did say there is no report. Yes, but you keep repeating the same thing. That's my problem. I've already said the reason why we have written to both the department and the municipality and reminded them of our decision is because there's no report.
All right. That's fine, Chair. Thank you for that. Now I understand. So in other words, the municipality for 7 months has defied the portfolio committee. That's the problem. So,
yes, but we are not having that matter on the agenda.
The solution is what we're hearing today. And the EFF are all in a very constructive manner saying sure that our resolutions are act to the
point. Oh, no, Chairperson.
And that, you know, people. So I'm hearing a lot of consensus on the committee that we need to bring this matter to fruition. So what I'm asking, I welcome what you say about we will get the if necessary, the province and the municipality to appear on Zoom with us. And I think that's good as well. But can we just get a confirmation that what I think we're asking is that all the reports that are outstanding are made available to us before that particular committee meeting? Can we then set a date by which we will make sure that they are appearing before us, maybe at the next committee meeting? By then we'll have the reports and we can take this process forward, as everybody seems to be saying people need to account, as has been said. So I take the comments made by all members of this committee has been very positive. I'm encouraged, but I just would like to hear that we're actually going to get the reports and have this by either the next committee meeting or perhaps one after that. So some clarity on a date timeline, please.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
Chairperson, can we, as a committee, agree that we acknowledge the fact that a letter has been written to the municipality? Let us allow the process for the municipality to respond to us and not put deadlines and time frames where it is not necessary. For now, the committee has taken proper action by writing to the municipality and reminding them that they had to report to us. Let us allow the municipality to respond to the portfolio committee in response to the letter that we have sent to them.
See, I disagree with the last comment. We need a timeline. The reality is, Chair, we can't operate the...
Who gave you the platform, Honorable Kumbi?
Chair, could I please make a...
When Honorable Makubela, you were speaking, she never interjected you or whatever. Now, Honorable Members, we are saying the same thing, all of us. There is going to be an update in our next meeting on the progress regarding the decisions we have taken in the past as the portfolio committee, not only on Mpopomeni and Hawick. I want to emphasize that. Not only on Mpopomeni and Hawick. There'll be a list that will be sent to all the honorable members on the decisions we have taken and the extent to which those decisions have been implemented. So it will indicate decision taken, date, implementer progress, suggested solution. So that will come to the honorable members. And then maybe what we also need to do is to have as a permanent item in our meetings, implementations of resolutions of the committee, so that there shouldn't be some thinking that we're dragging our feet in following up on resolutions of the committee. And so let's have it as a permanent item and forever follow up on those particular. So we will present that report in the, not in the next meeting. Members will receive that from the office on the decisions that they've been taking in the past, so that we discuss comprehensively. So that won't do. Honorable Krambok has suggested either next meeting or meeting after next. I don't know. I don't think anybody will be opposed to that. Honorable Makubela has also emphasized by saying that let's make sure that we follow up on the letter that we have given to the municipality, give them an opportunity to respond, and so on. So let's do that. Let's do all those things. Implement them and get the update as we meet as the committee. The most important thing is that we are all concerned about the implementation of our decisions. Pure.
Chairperson?
Yes, Minister.
Chairperson, I just keep saying that we are agreeing. There's something that we agree on, there's something that we're not agreeing on. What there is that from members of the committee, there is an urgency to have a very clear and defined timeline. Honorable Makubela has said that a timeline doesn't matter in this context. We disagree with them. A timeline is important because these matters have dragged on for months on end. And for us to accept the simple collapse of things and with no timeline, no sense of urgency as a portfolio committee, for some members of this portfolio committee, we disagree. We think it's important. Some members might not, but we think it is important. So the timeline that was being requested is to say that, yes, we agree that we want these recommendations to be implemented and people need to account, et cetera. But some members go a step further and say, by next week, by the week after that, and we can't just leave things in a vacuum. I think that's where the disagreement is.
There's no vacuum. In summarizing the discussions on this matter, I have indicated that between now and the next meeting, members of the committee will receive a list of decisions we have taken and the extent to which those decisions have been implemented. That will be between now and our next meeting. So that will come from the committee. That's one. Two, specifically with regard to the oversight visit we undertook to Mpopumene and Hawick, when we meet with the department in our next meeting, I'm not sure when is our next meeting with the department, there will be a report from the municipality, the province, and the department in as far as specific resolutions that were taken by the House are concerned on our oversight visit to Mpopumene and how we do. That's all. I'm sure it's clear now. That day, Khalifa had suggested that we adopt the minutes of the last meeting. Can we have a second? If you fainted, that,
don't have a second.
Okay. That might take a second. The adoption of the minutes. Do we have anybody opposed to us adopting the minutes? Okay, the minutes are now adopted as a true reflection of what ensued in our meeting as the portfolio committee. Honorable members, this brings us to the close and the end of this meeting. Enjoy this afternoon's sitting. Thank you. Bye-bye. Mr. Manson. Bye, thank you.